you know, our kids who are 10, 7, and 5, yeah, are in transition as well. And so we moved in with our parents, and so each of them got a bin that they could put things that they wanted to take to Nini and Papo's house. And so here they are looking, and it's so interesting, the different stuff. Like my our five-year-old's like, I want my money and a fanny pack. Done, right? And so then my daughter is like, she's got the box and then a couple of stuffed animals and then a couple other things on top of the box. And not to stereotype, but she's doing a great job being who she is. And Titus is, you know, our oldest is getting, you know, putting lots of Lego stuff in there. But that first day when we started to pack up and kind of put everything in boxes and everything, all of our kids broke down and cried at some point in the day. And I was just like, what is your deal? Like, it's you know, it's a Angry Birds pillow. Just put it in the box. Like, it's not that hard, you know. And so I started realizing that they're in transition, and change is really tough sometimes. I mean, for my wife and I, we can talk about it. We can go, okay, we're going to do this, and we've done that before. And our kids haven't so much done that before. And so today, it really reminded me of, like, in Psalms 118:5, about how it says, in my distress, I prayed to the Lord, and the Lord answered me and set me free. And I started thinking about, I feel like David's psalms are a lot of his personal testimonies. Can you see that? Could you see that? Like, I mean, if you have rocks, you can throw them now if you disagree. Okay, so, wow, 3 minutes already. See, this is why we did this. Okay, so David's psalms are like testimonies. You can see kind of like the vindicate me, O Lord, bust the heads of my enemies and get me some, you know, like I need a new house or like, or what, not really, but like, you know, he's going through this stuff, having a hard time. A lot of the time the guy was in a cave, you know, hiding from the chosen king of Israel, the anointed king of Israel, who's acting like a doofus, you know, and he's hiding in this cave going, dear God, what is going on? There's 400 other guys who are unhappy and confused come and hide in the cave with him. And he's literally like, God, if you don't save us, our enemies are surrounding us. Like, the king is here. He's coming in. Like, you know, this is crazy. And through all of that, I think, this is not in the Bible, so you don't have to just believe this if you don't want to. But I've been thinking that I think the reason that David wrote the Psalms like he did was to remind himself of how good God was, or is, excuse me, of how good God is. He wrote them because, and I look at it and I'm just thinking, man, look at this process. And I started to think, this is the process we all go through, isn't it? God, I don't know. Like, you know, even for my kids, I'm sitting here in my room looking at this bunch of stuff. I don't know what to do. I'm confused. You want us to go where? Where do you want us to go? We don't even have a house we're going to. We're going to go live with Nini and Papo for a few weeks. I don't know what's going on. That's David, right? But it's just on a magnified level. Okay, so I don't know if you're with me, but that's all right. So I was just thinking about, you know, how many testimonies does one guy need? And then I started asking myself, you know, how much glory and honor and praise is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords worthy of, right? And so David, being a man after God's own heart, for those of us who have received the free gift of salvation and allowed Jesus to be Lord of our life, we're sons and daughters of the Most High God, and that must mean that we are people after his own heart as well. You can't separate that. We have to be people after his own heart. If we are repentant and we have called him Lord and we know his love and we're following after him, right? So in a New Living Translation, it's second, yeah, I put first, but it's 2 Corinthians 3:16. It says, but whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. In the New King James Version, it says, 3:18 says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." From glory to glory. Now, this is a term that has confused me a few times in my life and tried to understand what it means, but from what I'm understanding, it's from testimony to testimony, from revelation to revelation, being transformed into His image, from trust to trust. So David was a messed up dude sometimes. That means there is hope for all of us. Praise the Lord, right? From glory to glory. So take a look at this diagram here. I think it's going to come up. I painstakingly took about 20 seconds and made this thing. So if you look, this is our life. So we stand on His promises. We put weight on and step up through trust in Him to where He is calling us through the trials that we face. That's a lot of Chris confusion. But the idea is that we, like, the glory of God and where we're going with Him is founded on trust. Has to be. We don't want a flimsy foundation. I mean, have y'all ever tried to step up some stairs that were rotting? Not a great time, right? I mean, you do one of those things, and that's just not okay. You know, you might hurt yourself. So that's the thing, is like when you're in your relationship with Jesus, if you start tripping and not being able to trust God and stand on His promises, what happens is that all comes from our history with Him. That all comes from our experiences and our trust and our relationship with Him. And so if our relationship with Him is a little flimsy, we end up kind of slipping on our lack of trust and going from not glory to glory, but glory to poor me, right? Or from poor me to poor me instead of glory to glory. It took me like an hour and a half to think of that, so I hope you remember it. So this is a picture of your life. Do the stairs go up, or do they go from, you know, from Sunday to Sunday? So you can do the next image if you want to. So it's from Sunday to Sunday, or from glory to poor me, to annual church camp experience, to glory down to poor me. I think this is more of, for me, what it's looked like. Anybody else at times was like, oh gosh, God, my enemies are surrounding me. Help me out here. I don't know what's going on. I had plans on buying a new car, and then my old car broke, and now I can't trade it in. God, vindicate me. You know, things like that. So sometimes our experience in glory can be like my sister's first river raft. I think I just changed the page way too fast. No, I didn't. I'm okay. Maybe I did. Nope, we're good. Keep up. You got to keep up. So sometimes our experiences in glory can be a lot like my sister and I's first river rafting trip, which I think Cliff and Candace were on. But it was a level 4, and I don't think I was over 10. And if you've ever been rafting, it was scary. It scared me. It was dumping rain. I mean, there was so much water in the boat, it didn't matter if you were in or out. You know, it was just horrible. And I mean, we were supposed to be having this great time, and I think after a while I was just in shock and hypothermia. I was like, yeah, this is great. I just hope we get home, you know. And so after that whole experience, my mom asked my sister, how was that? What did you think of it? She goes, that was fun. Let's never do it again, you know. And I think sometimes when we experience God's glory and we experience His presence, sometimes we go, that was fun, but I felt out of control, so let's never do it again, right? Or I saw that going differently. I don't want any part of that. That was weird. I don't, you know, for a lot of folks, sometimes the idea of the Holy Spirit coming on you, even in the Old Testament, like Saul just walks up to a bunch of prophets and he's talking to them, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit rests on him and he starts prophesying too. Kind of an interesting thing, right? So you think in the New Testament, What does that look like since the Holy Spirit is always here, since he's inside of you and resting on you? His anointing is here all the time. I just wonder what is going on, because haven't you all had the conversation or possibly heard someone have the conversation of, well, like, if Jesus is still moving today, where is he? What's he doing? I thought he'd said we would do greater things than these, but we're not. What's going on? There's like 17 evangelists over in China doing a great job, and the rest of us are just waiting to, we don't know what, you know? And no, I make light of that, but it's true. There's a lot of folks in other countries that are seeing great revival. So is it because we're American? Is it because we have enough money? And maybe, just maybe, the enemy can be pretty sneaky in times, because he doesn't have to be outright. So the reason we don't see a bunch of deliverances and people writhing around on the floor and throwing up and all that stuff in church is probably because the enemy thinks it's a better idea for you not to know about him instead of, you know, so he's high. Like, so I know we're not supposed to talk about the enemy too much, and I don't want to do that, but like, we don't want to give him too much to do, but just think of that for a second. So if that's the truth and the enemy is trying to hide, then I wonder who wants to be made famous. I wonder if God wants to be made famous. If the tactic of the enemy is to make it so that we don't think about spiritual things, maybe God wants us to think about spiritual things. Maybe God wants us to realize that his power and his goodness and his glory has purpose and has a reason, right? My question to you is, have you ever given yourself permission to be who God has made you to be? We were created to be in his presence. I keep saying them. We were made to be in his presence, not fall in and out of trust with him. Right? So, when I was a kid, our Christmases were probably different than anybody's Christmases you'd ever imagine. And I don't say this out of a place of weird pride. I say it out of a place of, I can't. You, as an 8-year-old, you couldn't wrap your mind around it. Like, you see these aisles here? The rest was presents, right? So, like, the aisles and then presents. And so, like, at our house, we'd come out of our room and we'd be like, this is going to be awesome. And sometimes it would take, and at our house, I know this is a debate that will not be solved today, but at our house, we take turns, one after another, after another, after another. I believe at one point, so think about it for just the math whizzes in here. Consider this. So there's 5 kids in my family. We all bought 11 presents for our other family members, right? That's just the kids. Then there's my cousin and he gave gifts. My aunt and uncle, they gave gifts. My grandma would give us ridiculous amounts of gifts. And then my mom and dad gave us like 1 or 2 gifts each, right? So then if you do the math, that's a lot of gifts. Like, when I say ridiculous amounts, it was like, I think, and I'm not going to be weird, but I think the limit at one point was 20 per person. And she worked all year round so that she could bless us. They lived through the Great Depression. It was awesome. It was such a blessing. So I explain that to you to give you a picture of what this room looks like in the spiritual realm right now. We are so inundated with the gifts that God wants to give us that we are pushing them aside so that we can get to our own stuff. Is that crazy? Like, there's presence with new organs in them. There's presence with new ligaments and legs and you know, new hearts. There's presence with, relationships being restored. There's gifts that are just to know God's glory just a little more. Just a gift of prophecy, a gift of shout them out, you know, knowledge, understanding, yeah? Amen. Yeah, so, I lost my train of thought there. Okay, so if you think about it, Just if you could you just close your eyes for a second? It's not going to be so, I'm not going to sneak over you. We're not playing heads up, seven up or anything. So there are gifts from God. Just think about this. There are gifts from God littering the aisles, under the seats. They have your name on them. Some of you are so covered in gifts that you can't even hear what I'm saying right now. You're so just like, think about that. So there are gifts, anything from, you know, like I was saying, new intestines, restoration of broken relationships, forgiveness, prophecy, you name it. He's pouring it out. All we have to do is receive. Then once we receive, we open that present up. So you can open up your eyes now. So once you get a gift on Christmas, we start opening that present, right? So like say for me, 1 year, maybe I get a remote control car. So I pop that remote control car open. And as an adult, you'd read the instructions. As a kid, I just yank it out of the box. I start trying to mash buttons and, you know, start crashing into my brother and, you know, just making it so my grandma can't cook dinner because I'm trying to figure out the buttons or whatever. And this, like, we should start reading the instructions, which for us, like today, is really we read the Bible. We spend time in His truth. Most of you, I'd say 99% of you, do that a lot. Can you imagine on Christmas morning only reading the instructions and never actually playing with your toy that God gave you? Crazy, right? That would be nuts. So, not saying that the instructions don't have a place, because they really do, and they're important. And we spend a lot of time, the people who wrote those instructions spent a lot of time, and I've got news for you. God spent a whole lot of time writing the Bible to make sure that we got the instructions correct. But then what? Because if all we do is read the instructions and we don't use the presents, okay, let's just think about it this way. Shelby Mustang, sitting, you name your year, you name your car, it's sitting in your front driveway, and you've got the key, but all you do is get in it and pretend that you drive it. Man, oh man. You've got the key in your hand. Why don't you just turn it on? Why don't you just use it, right? So we start reading the instructions, we practice. We learn, we thank God, the one who gives perfect gifts. We can't believe the length that He went through to give us so many gifts, such gifts, right? Or instead of opening them, we kick them around, getting them out of the way of what we were busy doing, believing that we don't deserve His gifts. We speculate, we justify living in poor me instead of living from glory to glory. And so, I think I lost a page someplace. That's not surprising. Did you have the Ezekiel one back there? Did you get that one? Man, the printer is fired. So, if we think about all this, it was, I was talking to some friends, and we were talking about how the church right now, not just this church, but the church across the board really reminds me of the Valley of Dry Bones in some ways. And I don't know if you've remember that, so we're going to read it. Come on, phone, don't fail me now. So in Ezekiel 37, it says this: "The Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. Then He asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones become living people again?' O sovereign Lord,' I replied, 'you alone know the answer to that.' Then He said to me, 'Speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I am going to put breath into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I spoke this message just as he told me. Suddenly, as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones. Then skin formed to cover their bodies, but they still had no breath in them. Then he said to them, "Speak a prophetic message to the wind, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath from the four winds, breathe into these dead bodies so they may live again." So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies. They all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel. They are saying, 'We have become old, dry bones. All hope is gone. Our nation is finished.' Therefore, prophesy to them and say, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I will open your graves of exile and cause you to rise again. Then I will bring you back to the land of Israel. When this happens, O my people, you will know that I am the Lord. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live again and return home to your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and have done what I said, the Lord, what I said. Yes, the Lord has spoken." So when we think about that, some of you really got it as I was reading, and that's good. But I want to break it down just a touch. If you think about what it means to be without water, and Jesus is the living water, and we only come to the fountain or come to the river once a week or twice a week or maybe just when some people get together, and even then it's not the main course, it's off in the corner, because really you might look kind of crazy. If you think about this, if everybody is dry bones and you're walking around with a glass of water or swimming in a river and everyone else is laying around, you might look pretty kooky, right? What's going on with that guy? You weirdo. Have you ever thought about how a long time after you haven't had something you need? So for instance, water. Like right now, I constantly in Nevada, my mouth is always dry. It's just an amazing time. But if I sleep all night and my mouth is dry all night and I wake up and I take a drink of water, it hurts. Do you know what I'm talking about? Has anybody else experienced that? Okay, great. Awesome. Just me. Okay, but it really is painful to drink that water. And so what I'm saying is sometimes we think that everything is fine. Sometimes we think that because we've come to a place and we do things and we enjoy our religion, we enjoy doing the same thing over and over week to week. Sometimes we can see that as fine because when you look around, all the other bones are dry. And I'm talking about myself too. Please don't hear me say that I'm anything special, but I believe that God wants to call us out. I believe he wants to put breath into us more than ever before. I believe that he wants us to live, to open up the presence, open up the gifts that he's got all around us and go, "Yes, I will stand. Here I am, Lord. Send me." It's not like we've talked about. I've talked about this so many times. I feel like I preach the same message year after year. But we sit down and, you know, we wait for someone to come and say, you're called by God. Okay, I've never done anything. I've just listened to everybody else talk about it. So now that I'm called by God, the only way that I can be called by God is like maybe if I remembered a Bible verse during church and walk up to the front and share it, like that's my Christian duty. Well, maybe not. Maybe it's talking to your neighbor about how green their grass is and start asking him questions about their life. And if you have an opportunity, maybe just praying for him for a second. No prophet has to come to town for that. No prophet has to come and point you out and say, "You're used, you're called by God." No, you are called by God because you're his son and his daughter. Why wouldn't God call you up? That'd be a little strange. He loves you. He's got such a heart for you, such a desire to not just see you survive, but see you live for him. I'm checking my timer. So can we just bow our heads for a moment? I believe that a lot of us, we already know there's stuff that we should do, but our next step is a little flimsy when it comes to trust. And so I just want to encourage you, I don't care if that next step is actually praying, actually just talking to God. Maybe that's your next step. Maybe your next step is walking up to someone in a grocery store and praying for them. Maybe your next step is going, God, if you're real, I need you to show me that you're real. Maybe that's your next step. I don't know what your next step is, but I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this. Zacchaeus, when Jesus called him out and said, come on down from that tree, he didn't say, you ugly, stinking sinner, you thief, you did so much bad stuff. He didn't. He just said, Zacchaeus, come on down. We're going to hang out. You're going to make me lunch today. And before they even go on, Zacchaeus is already repenting. Yeah, this guy pointed me out. Jesus pointed me out. I actually have value. Jesus is pointing you guys. He's pointing you out right now. You have so much value. You have so much value. He has made you for a purpose. The creator of heaven and earth has made you. That's a lot of value. That is a lot of value. God, I just pray right now that as we have our eyes closed and our heads bowed, Lord, that you would start to reveal to us what gifts are sitting around us that you've already given us that we've never even opened. Jesus, I just pray that if we haven't opened the biggest gift, that you're just such a good God that loves us and cares about us, Lord. Just tear that baby open. We just tear that baby open right now. God, I thank you for just us being able to receive what you've given us. We receive it. If you feel like God's already speaking to you, he's already been putting stuff on your heart, you know the next step, you know there's a next step for you, you know there's something for you, and you felt like maybe even God promised it to you a long time ago, can you just say, I receive it, God. I receive what you're going to give me, what you promised. I just receive, Lord. I receive restoration in my family. I receive forgiveness. Some of us, it's kind of an interesting thing. I think some of us, the biggest person that we need to forgive is ourselves. We need to give ourselves permission to forgive ourselves. God has already forgiven you. You love God, but for some reason yourself is not valued. So just, even just whisper to him right now, I forgive myself. God, I forgive myself. Thank you for already forgiving me. The last thing God wants is a bunch of his sons and daughters walking around in shame, wondering if they really have authority, if they really are who God says that you are. God, I pray for a fresh outpouring of your spirit right now. God, as we receive what you've given us already, God, the latent potential in this room is astounding. We thank you, Father, that it is each of our jobs, each of our honor to stand up and to not bury what you've given us. God, don't let us bury it. Don't let us bury who you've called us to be. I thank you that who you've called us to be is different for every individual too, Lord. You've called us, obviously there's things you've called us to, Lord, to the Great Commission and to spread the gospel and to be salt and light, and to have a relationship with you is the most important. But God, beyond that, you're calling some of us in this room to do things that don't make any sense. They don't look like, you know, being a pastor. Maybe it looks like being a tattoo artist. Maybe it looks like being a fisherman. Maybe it just looks like going over to our next door neighbor's house or whatever that might be. I just ask, God, that we would actually be obedient and take the first step. God, so many of us already have the first step. We've seen it for years, and we've just been staring at that step and going, yeah, I kind of did my time. I don't really want to do that or whatever. But Lord, I don't want to be like David. I don't want to stay at home and get comfortable and commit adultery. Lord, I just see that as such a picture. I was just thinking right now, God, about how that's such a picture of us getting comfortable and just committing adultery with the world. We just, we stop moving on with you and we start doing our own thing, and pretty soon we get tempted, and pretty soon we get all messed up in our heads, and we start trying to follow our own dreams and our own things instead of going, God, what are you calling me to? What is it? What was that last step? Oh yeah, I'm going to go do that instead. God, help us to make that decision, Lord. And if we've made decisions like David, where he did a boo-boo and committed adultery, Lord, I pray that he wouldn't step down from glory. I pray that he would step down from pride. I pray that, like, just anybody in this room, Lord God, that really we messed up and our relationship with you just isn't as good as it used to be. Lord, I just pray that we'd step down from pride and step into your glory, Lord Jesus. We would admit that we're wrong, but not lose our identity as a son or daughter of you, because that's who we are, Lord. Father, I just pray today, God, just for your love right now, God, just more of you in this room. Thank you so much, Father. I thank you that you're patient as we work things out. I thank you that you're patient as we get the new remote control car or the new gift and start crashing into ovens and garage doors and all that stuff. Lord, thank you that it can be messy and you still love us and you're not waiting for us to be perfect. You're just waiting for us to be willing. So Lord, in that, God, I pray that we would find so much peace in abiding in you, in resting in you, in learning to trust you, God. And also that we would be obedient with what you've given us, be faithful with what you've given us, Lord. We thank you in all these things, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Awesome. Well, if we're going to have our prayer teams come on up if you're available. And if you want prayer this